worship you, Lord. Oh, we just love you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you again today, Lord. Oh, you've been so good to us, Lord. Oh, we worship you, precious. Precious. Thank you, Lord. There's power in the name of Jesus.
There's still healing in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. There's healing for us. Let's release our faith for healing. Amen? Release your faith for healing. Never let go of your faith. You know, whenever you're reminded of faith, whenever it comes to your mind, just get back, you know. Make a faith confession. Give some faith thanks. Glory to God. Though the delay may have been long, glory to God. Though you haven't seen what you're believing for yet, we can still give Him thanks by faith because we believe. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Glory to God. Let's sing "There's Healing in the Name of Jesus." And as you do, release your faith. Glory to God. Glory to God. Healing in the name of Jesus. Whenever we say His name, things begin to change. Healing in the name of the Lord. Sing it again.
Jesus, whenever we say,
eyes closed, why don't you lift one hand and let's make a couple of confessions along that line. Say it with me. Thank you, Father, that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Thank you, Father, that Jesus bore my sickness. He carried my pains. And I am free. I am redeemed from all sickness, all disease, all pain, all weakness, all inability, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for it sincerely in the precious name of Jesus. We give you praise and thanks that you are still Jehovah Rapha, and our healing is as close as you are to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sing it one more time. There's healing. God is so good. Ready? Praise God and just give us some background for just a minute. You know, Brother Hagin, when he was out on the road, when he first went out on the road after he quit pastoring, he said in that first 12 months, he fell further and further behind each month. He said his car was worn out. The tires were worn out. He said he'd be riding down the road sometimes, and that rhythmic sound of his tires would seem to say to him, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And he was preaching prosperity the whole time. The whole time he was broke, the whole time he was falling behind, he was still preaching prosperity. Amen. So no matter what it looks like, our only hope is the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Word says healing is ours. Glory to God. You believe Him? Praise God. Let's sing this song. God is so good. Glory to God. We believe you, Father. So directly to Him. Sing it to Him. Hallelujah. Father, we believe that you are good and gracious. We believe that you love us more than we can understand. Glory to God. And Father, we stay on your side. We count you blameless. Glory to God. We say with the psalmist, Father, you are righteous in all your ways and holy in all your works. Glory to God. Though we haven't seen the manifestation, Father, of everything that we want yet, we still know you're good. And we're going to praise you and give you thanks. Glory to God. According to your word, glory to God. No matter what we see or don't see, no matter what we feel or don't feel, Father, in the precious name of Jesus, glory to God. You're so good, God. You're so good, you're so good to me. From the bottom of your heart. God, you're so good. Thank you for everything, Father. God, you're so with me. I love you so. Again, one more time. Glory to God. I love you so. I love you so. I love you so. Thank you, Lord. You shake somebody's hand, hug somebody's neck, and just tell them, God is awesome. Hallelujah. Glory to God. To me. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Praise God. I tell you, all is well. Hallelujah. Jesus is on board. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Isn't it good to be part of a good church family? Yes. Praise God. So good to have a family. Praise God. On our teams, our service teams, when somebody may be having a challenge, whatever it might be, financial challenge, health challenge, the teams just gather around and love on them. Praise God. And do for them. It's a great thing to see. Amen. Hallelujah. But it's good to be a part of a family. How many of you glad to be at Faith Life Church? Praise God. Amen. I tell you what, in my estimation, one of the premier ministries. Hallelujah. That teaching gift in Brother Moore just won't quit, will it? Praise God. Man, when I grow up, I want to be just like him in that regard. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Brother Gary. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, say it with me. The Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. Have I told you lately that I love you? Praise God. I appreciate you so much. Praise God. You guys are awesome. You know, if we could somehow measure, quantify the amount of grace that each of our lives represent. I mean, we'd get on our knees and worship. Amen. Just the people in this room, the goodness of God that has been extended to each one of us in just uncounted ways is just off the chart, praise God. That He would have anything to do with us is amazing, considering who He is. Hallelujah. But for some reason... For some reason, glory to God, He loves us with an unimaginable love. Hallelujah. That's who He is. Amen. Aren't you glad He's love? Hallelujah. I asked the Lord years and years ago. This would have been about 1977 or so. And... I was just spending some time with the Lord and just thinking, you know, back at that time, my love life was not really highly developed. Not that it's extraordinarily highly developed right now, but we're better than we were. Amen. When before I was saved, I didn't like people. I was forgetting that I was a people, you know. That was part of the problem. I didn't like myself much. And I had been saved several years, and I was spending some time in prayer, and I said, Lord, you know, people lie, they cheat, they steal, they do all kind of stuff. Why do you love them? I should have said, why do you love us? I was saying, why do you love them? And he said, because I am love. Praise God. That's who he is. He can't help himself. Praise God. He's crazy about us. He never takes his eyes off of us. You know, when Esther, our first daughter, was born, when she was 0 to about 10 or 12 months old, I'd put her in those little seats that you carry around, you know, and I'd put her on the dining room table while I ate my lunch, and I'd just look at her. I couldn't get enough of just looking at her. Hallelujah. That's the way the Lord is with us. Praise God. He's looking at you right now. Hallelujah. Why don't you just look back at him and raise a hand and say, thank you, Father. I love you too. We love you too, Father. In the precious name of Jesus, we love you, Father, more than we love anything else in life. Glory to God. You are our life. Without you, we have nothing. With you, we have all things. Hallelujah. And Father, we just release our faith together right now for the remainder of the service. We're asking your help. We are completely relying on you. We look to you. We don't look to flesh and blood. Thank you for the Spirit of God moving. Thank you for the Word of God coming forth. Father, I ask you for utterance. We ask you to give us all ears to hear, hearts to receive. Father, let us count any time that we come before your Word. Special time. For these few fleeting moments, we ask your help and we thank you for it by faith. Get glory to yourself, sir. In Jesus' precious name. The church said amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's open the word back, please, to the Gospel of John. And we're still on the theme of As I Have Loved You. Praise God. Have you gotten anything out of this series? I've really enjoyed bringing it. Praise God. John 15. And let's just read here two verses, starting at verse 12. This is my commandment. What is it? What is it? A commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. So we're obligated by the Lord Himself to love each other, to treat each other with high regard. Glory to God. That's what love does. Amen? Love cannot be disinterested in its object. Amen. Cannot be uncaring about its object. If we truly love one another, we won't be able to be unfeeling or uncaring or uninterested in each other. May I have an amen? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, we'll never, in all probability, be called upon to lay our life down for a brother or sister in Christ, physically, you know, dying for them. But we can lay it down by giving our time, amen, by preferring them. If there's only one biscuit left, amen, you go ahead and take the biscuit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's laying down our lives in a little measure. Praise God. Now let's go today to the granddaddy passage on love in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. As I have loved you, praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. You know, love, when you're walking in love, it makes you feel good. It's kind of like faith, you know. When you're in faith, faith makes you feel good. What I mean by that, in your attitude. When you're in faith, you're positive. When you're in faith, you're expecting something good. And because you're expecting something good, you have eager anticipation. Glory to God. When you're in faith, you're up, not down. Glory to God. When you're in faith, you're at peace and at rest. You're not agitated. You're not frustrated. Glory to God. Is this all right this morning? Glory to God. But love is that same way. It's a good feeling. It's a good attitude. I'd much rather love you than be angry at you. Praise God. Anger is a raunchy feeling. And I'm an expert at it. Hallelujah. I used to have a real issue with anger. I mean, I was angry when I woke up in the morning. Even after I was saved. For years. I'm telling on myself. Praise God. Hallelujah. But when you get in love, When you start growing in love, it's a good feeling. Praise God. Hallelujah. You have warm feelings toward another human being. Tender feelings of affection, sympathy. When they hurt, you hurt with them. Weep with those that weep. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Glory to God. That's the love of God. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Let's just read the whole chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Just noise. An irritating noise at that. Verse 2. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and understand and all knowledge, notice the scope of what he's saying here. Understand all mysteries and all knowledge. I might have an IQ of 200. Really a smart person. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, what's the rest of that say? Without love. God said, you're nothing. I sure don't want to be nothing to you. Amen. Is this important? Praise God. Y'all tone your excitement down some. Praise God. This word is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 3. Though I bestow all my goods, to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Now notice in verse 2, it said, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. Can you have faith and not have love? Apparently, that's possible. Amen? Though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, if I don't have charity, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. So apparently, you can have real significant, the highest faith, so that you could move mountains. That's the idea that he's getting across here. Though I have all faith so that I could move mountains, moving mountains being the highest demonstration of strong faith. Even if my faith was that strong that I could move a mountain, if I didn't have love, I'd be nothing in God's sight. You know, that's how important in his mind love is. You know, the thing that God looks at more closely than anything else, other than how we love him, is how we love men. The thing he looks at more closely than anything other than our love for him is our love for men. That's what he's checking out. Oh, he likes it if we have faith. But what's vastly more important to Him is whether or not we have love and how much love we have. You know, we need to settle it. We need to settle it. Love is number one with me. And by the grace of God, I'm going to walk in the love of God. Whether my carnal mind likes it, whether my flesh likes it, whether it's my natural preference or not, it is what He desires, and I'm going to yield to Him. Hallelujah. I'm going to love everybody by His grace. Hallelujah. No matter what they do to me, no matter if they don't care whether I exist or not, I'm going to love them by the grace of God. No matter if they do me wrong, I'm going to love them. Hallelujah. May I have an amen. When we walk in love, it's easy to forgive. Forgiveness is a cinch when we're walking in love. I mean, it's the easiest thing in the world. Glory to God. I talk to people, you know, over the years, and they have such a struggle forgiving. But it's not a struggle when we get over in love. Hallelujah. When we're in love, we make up our minds ahead of time. If you do me wrong, I'm going to forgive you. Glory to God. It's a done deal. Hallelujah. I'm not going to have to think about it. I'm not going to have to pray about it. Glory to God. I'm going to forgive you. Praise God. Now, don't test me on it. Don't come up here and punch me or something. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, even if I seem like I'm the most charitable, selfless person in the world, if in reality it's not motivated by love in my heart, it's to no profit. Hallelujah. Is this all right this morning? I tell you what, it feeds my spirit just to think about these things. Verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. I think the Lord put that in it, that is kind, in that same phrase with charity suffers long, because He wanted us to understand not just suffering long time, but being kind while you're suffering. Praise God. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Glory to God. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. It doesn't make a scene. Amen? Seeks not her own. I guess you could say there, seeks not only her own. We are supposed to give attention to our personal matters and, you know, responsibilities and our own personal lives, but not only our own lives. Is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. It never gives up hope. Endures all things. Now, this is interesting. Look at verse 4, the first phrase. charity suffers long. Verse 7, the first phrase, bears all things. The last phrase, endures all things. In other words, love puts up with a lot. It's kind of like being in retail work and dealing with the public. Anybody ever had to deal with the public in retail work? How many found it to be a challenge dealing with people sometimes? Amen. I was working in a lumber and hardware store one time, and a guy came in, and he wanted to return a door and a door jamb that we had made for him. You know, our facilities had produced for him, and he brought it back, and we received it and wrote out the paperwork. And what has to happen from that point is the paperwork goes up to headquarters, which were in St. Louis. We were in New Orleans. And then they, you know, send paperwork back to issue a check. And I told him that. I said, it takes about 2 weeks. Well, boy, he got hot. I mean, hot. Glory to God. He started cussing. He started pounding the counter. I gave you my money when I picked up the door. I'm returning the door. I want my money now. Hollering. I said, sir, it takes about 2 weeks. I want my money now. You give me my money now. Where's the manager? I said, give me just a minute. So I went in the back. The manager was Jimmy Lee. I love Jimmy Lee, man. We had some good times together. But anyway, Jimmy Lee, I called him Mr. Jimmy. I said, Mr. Jimmy, there's a guy out there that's hotter than a firecracker. He wants his check right now for this door unit. And I don't know if we're going to be able to dissuade him otherwise. I said, he wants to come back here and talk to you. Well, there were several of the guys working in the yard standing around in the office. I said, we better have these guys stay in here because this guy's mad enough to go ballistic. So we had several of the yard guys stand around in Mr. Jimmy's office, and I went back out and got this guy. But it got resolved. Mr. Jimmy didn't yield. The guy had to wait 2 weeks, and he kind of looked around at the guys standing around and decided it wasn't a good deal for him. So he left. But dealing with the public, you know, you got to eat some crow sometime. Humble yourself. Put up with stuff. Well, that's the way love is. Amen? Love doesn't demand its rights. It doesn't demand you treat me this certain way or else. No. That's not love. Amen? Is this all right this morning? That's not love. You treat me this way. If you don't, I'll be upset with you. Hallelujah. Are we stepping on toes here or what? Y'all kind of quiet this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 8 here. Charity never fails. Now, we often say to put it another way, charity always succeeds, but that's not what this means. What it means is charity never fails. It never comes to an end. In the last verse, let's see. Yeah, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. Faith, hope, and charity will go on forever, for all eternity. So that's what it means here. Charity never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. They will come to an end. There won't be any need of prophecies in heaven. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. We won't need to speak in tongues in heaven and pray out mysteries up there. Whether there be knowledge, that means special knowledge, revelation knowledge. It means the gift of the Spirit, of the word of knowledge. It shall vanish away. We won't need special revelations up there in heaven. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face when we get up there in heaven. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Let's define a few things. I want to speak, the subtitle today is from chapter 4, verse 4, the first phrase, charity suffers long. We want to talk about love suffers long. The word charity here, as you probably heard hundreds, maybe thousands of times, is agape in the Greek. It means love, affection, benevolence. Love, a strong feeling of affection and concern toward another person as that arising from kinship or close friendship. Can we have feelings of affection for anyone other than a close family member? Well, think about Jonathan and David. Amen? You know what really touched me? When was it? Was it at the last week of Increase when Brother Moore was here? I think it was here. Huh? When Brother Keith broke down? Greater Faith? Okay. Y'all remember that? When Brother Keith got up and he was introducing Brother Copeland, and he choked up and started weeping. Brother Moore never does that. That's the affection. That's that fond feeling. That's that tenderness of feeling toward another human being. That's love. Hallelujah. Affection, a feeling of liking and caring for someone. Tender attachment, fondness, warm and tender feelings toward another. Somebody said feelings aren't important. These feelings are. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Good feelings are important. We need to have these good feelings of love and affection and fondness. May I have an amen? Amen. Glory to God. Benevolence, an inclination to perform kind or charitable acts. In other words, it's our bent. It's our default mode. We're just inclined to be gracious. Glory to God. Now the term suffereth long right here. Charity suffers long. It means to be long-spirited, forbearing, patient. And a lot of the versions have love is patient here in the place of charity suffereth long. So it's talking about patience. Long-spirited means to be in a good spirit for a long time when that is being challenged. When there's a challenge to be disgruntled, when there's a challenge to be angry, when there's some kind of a challenge to your joy and your peace, love overcomes that challenge and remains in a good spirit for a long time. Somebody say a long time. Hallelujah. Love suffers long. Praise God. Charity suffereth long. Forbearing is one of the definitions of suffereth long. It means to be polite, calm. And you know, love is polite. Love is, say that with me. Love is polite. You ever have somebody pass you in the hallway and not even say hello? That's not polite. Is it? We had a guy at that same store I used to work at. He was funny. I'd be in the aisle sometimes stocking shelves or whatever, and he'd come in the aisle way, a regular customer. And I would kind of look, see who it was, and I'd keep on working. And he'd pass by and he'd say, "Fine, how are you?" I said, "Good morning, sorry." Amen. But love is polite. Glory to God. Is this a lesson on manners this morning? I don't know. Praise God. Polite, calm, patient in difficult situations, controlling oneself when provoked, restrained. We don't need to say everything we think. Amen? We need to be restrained sometimes. It means patient, suffereth long, patient, able to wait for a long time or deal with a difficult situation without becoming angry or upset. Pretty straightforward. Praise God. A couple of other versions of 1 Corinthians 13:4. The NIV says love is patient. The Bible in basic English, love is never tired of waiting. The WEAST says love meekly and patiently bears ill treatment from others. Hallelujah. Bears ill treatment. Where does it say that love vaunteth not itself? Verse 4. Vaunteth not itself is not puffed up. So love is not pride, proud. It's humble. Love is humble. So it's not easily offended. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Love suffers long. Praise God. Y'all wish me a happy birthday. December is my spiritual birthday. I got saved in December of 1973. So this will be, how many years? 46. This December. I've been saved for 46 years. Praise God. And, you know, even after all those years of going to church faithfully, I mean, I'm not bragging, I'm just stating a fact. I've been faithful to church for 46 years. Never fell away, never laid out, always went to church. Praise God, by His grace. After 46 years of attending special meetings, going to conferences, seminars. Amen? Revivals. After seeking God for 46 years, praying for 46 years. There have been times I've taken a vacation. You know, I was when I was working and pastoring, I had 2 weeks vacation a year. And after I got in full-time ministry, for the first little while, I had 2 weeks vacation a year. And 1 year I was planning my vacation. And, you know, I like to spend the whole 2 weeks with Sally and the family. And that's what I do every year. And 1 year I was planning my vacation, and the Lord said, you're going to spend all your time with Sally? And he was asking me to spend some time with him. I said, well, Father, I was planning on doing that, but if you want to do something else, we can sure do something else. He said, I want you to spend a week with me. Hallelujah. And so I reserved a little cottage at a prayer ministry in Louisiana, spent a week with the Lord. Just me and him and the Word. Praise God. And then did it again. Took a week vacation. I don't know if it was the next year or a year after that. But 46 years of praying, studying the Word, striving to grow in the Lord. Praise God. After almost 44 years of being married to a Cajun. And you know, that's some pretty good sandpaper to rub those rough edges off. Hallelujah. I think I'm still in the classroom of patience. I haven't mastered it yet. In manifestation, I'll put it like that. By faith, I have mastered it, will master it. Praise God. Anybody in the classroom of patience with me? Besides me? Glory to God. It's uncanny how the lessons of patience come to us. Anybody had a lesson in patience ever? I'm not talking about like right now being taught. I mean out there in life, a lesson in patience. Glory to God. It's uncanny. Praise God. You ever notice that when you're running late and you get in your vehicle, that's always when you get behind the dump truck? Have you noticed that? That's when you get behind the dump truck or the person that doesn't know how to drive or something like that. Or the traffic jam, praise God, when you're in a hurry. One of the lessons that the Lord has used in my life, over and over and over, is lines. Getting in a line. Lines at the grocery store. Anybody's patience ever been tested in lines in the grocery store? I mean, I underwent that lesson so many times that I would just anticipate it. Well, you know, here we go. No matter what line I get in, it'll be the slowest one. I mean, there could be 2 people in this line and 12 people in this line. I say, oh, well, I get a break today. I get over here in the line with 2 people, and that's when it comes to a screeching halt right there. And that 12 people goes on through, and they're driving home, and another 12 come, you know. And I'm still in that line with the 2 people. Hallelujah. And if I'm in that line with 2 people and that 12 people line starts moving real fast, I say, well, I just need to get over here. That line comes to a screeching halt right there. Amen. It doesn't matter where the line is. Lines of car at a toll booth. I would get in the slowest one. I mean, if that happened, you know, 10 times, it's happened 1,000 times. And after a while, I just said, Father, forgive me. I need this lesson, evidently, so just help me to, you know, learn and grow in grace. Praise God. Lines at the ticket windows to get in the movies. Lines at Silver Dollar City. Lines in the food lines at Celebration Sunday. Hallelujah. Can a minister be aggravated at a church function? I've got to confess to you, yeah, they can. Praise God. You know, one thing about being a minister, we're anointed to minister the word, but we're not especially anointed to live it. We have no anointing above anyone else to live the word. Amen? We have to release our faith for healing, for provision, for growth in grace, just like any other believer does. There's no special grace there. That's why some ministers can be really great at ministering healing and then be sick themselves. They're gifted and anointed to administer healing, but not gifted and anointed to receive their own healing. They have to do that just like anybody else. Amen. Love suffers long. There was a lady one time when I was working in that lumber store, and we sold building materials, appliances, you know, cabinets, flooring, and hardware. And this nice lady comes in, and I happen to wait on her. I said, yes, ma'am, what can we do for you today? She said, well, I wanted to build a little something for my husband for his birthday. I said, okay, what did you want to build? She said, well, I want to build him a rabbit cage. I said, okay, we have stuff necessary to build a rabbit cage. What did you need? And I got my pad. She said, I don't know. I thought to myself, here we go. I was with this lady for about 3 hours. Trying to design her rabbit cage for her. And we work on commission. So the other salespeople, you know, they're gobbling down clients going in and out, and I'm with this lady for 3 hours. Well, what were you going to make it out of, ma'am? I don't know. You know, 3 hours. Praise God. The Lord puts us in the school of patience. Interruptions. They'll try your patience. Amen. From people who are oblivious to the fact that you're very busy. And they won't shut up. And they talk and they talk and they talk, and you think you got a break to cut in, and they start again. Delays. Sally will be glad to testify that I've had challenges in that area. Driving. driving. I'm better than I've ever been by the grace of God. But why some people do the things they do on the road, you know. A couple of my pet peeves is when you get behind somebody, they've got their blinker on to turn right. That's all fine, well and good, you know. Turn right and get out of the way. But they slow down and they go so slow making that turn. And I look, why are they going so slow? There's nothing in the way. Nobody coming. But they're going a half a mile an hour and staying out in the road, you know. And you're waiting for them to get off the road. And you ever get behind somebody and there's one lane going this way and there's a turn lane and another lane going that way and this person slows down to a stop in your lane to take a left instead of pulling in the turn lane, they're in the go lane. The lessons in the class of patience. Praise God. Let's go over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. Y'all forgive me for how I am. Still not totally grown up yet. Hallelujah. Luke 22. I saw something really cool in the Word. I'm going to share it with you. See what you think about it. From this story right here, this passage. Now, here in Luke chapter 22, let's start at verse 24. This is the story of the upper room. And Jesus is talking to the disciples. Verse 24. And there was also a strife among them. In the upper room? A strife? Which of them should be accounted the greatest? And he said unto them. Now, we want to notice the patience of Jesus. His patience with his disciples. As I have loved you. They've been with him right at 3.5 years. The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. Now, notice how he introduces that. He doesn't rebuke them. He doesn't say, why are you arguing about that? He just starts giving an example. The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. They that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serves. He said, I'm not vying for position. I'm not jockeying for promotion. I'm here to serve. Verse 28. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. He actually compliments them right there. I appreciate the fact that you've stayed with me through everything. And I appoint unto you a kingdom. He's telling them, I'm giving you a kingdom. They were just arguing minutes ago. He says, I'm giving you a kingdom. As my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He said, you're all going to be promoted, guys. I've got thrones for you in my kingdom. Now here's the thing. Here's the thing that I saw. Judging how many tribes? Would he have said that if Judas had already left and there were only 11 of them? We don't know when Judas left. But I think he was probably still in the room at this point. And one last time, he had an opportunity to change his mind. Somebody said, you know, well, then Jesus couldn't have died. Oh, yeah, he could. The Lord has 1,000 ways to bring things to pass. Judas made a free will choice to reject God. He didn't have to make it. The Lord didn't want him to make it. He's not willing that any should perish. Amen? And notice this about Jesus. The Scripture says he knew from the beginning who they were that believed on him and who would reject him. He knew that from the beginning. And he doesn't say, Judas, don't leave. Save yourself. Don't reject me. You're making a huge mistake. He didn't say that. He didn't try to pressure him or coerce him into staying. Love lets people make their own choices. Amen? Lets people make their own choices. Love and faith don't put any pressure on anybody to do any certain thing, act a certain way. Love just lets people be who they are, what they are at this given moment in time, and loves them just how they are with all of their issues and whatever it may be, loves them anyway, just like God loves us. Amen. Glory to God. But the patience of the Lord Jesus here. Jesus dealt with the disciples' strife with divine patience. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's see if we can look at one more example real quickly. Matthew chapter 17. Praise God. What does this have to do with healing? Well, walking in love, I submit to you, is very conducive to good physical health. Hallelujah. When the organism is at rest and full of joy, amen, not at odds with anyone, it's more healthy. You know, it's common knowledge these days that negative emotions adversely affect physical health. You know, depression, bitterness, unforgiveness, things like that. It makes us sick, literally physically sick. So to walk in love is very conducive to good health. Praise God. Let's read here, beginning at verse 14. Matthew 17, 14. When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic. He was a member of my wife's family. Hallelujah. He was lunatic. And
I had to catch up some. He's lunatic, sore vexed, and oft times he falleth into the water and into the fire and oft into the water. I brought him to your disciples. They could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Notice what he says here. Now, this is Matthew chapter 17, a little past the center of the Gospel of Matthew, but it's really toward the end of Jesus' ministry. This is about A.D. 28, and Bible chronologists tell us that Jesus began his ministry in A.D. 25, early February, A.D. 25. This is A.D. 28, 3 years in, so Jesus only has at the most 6 months to go before he goes to the cross. So these guys have been with him for years now. Years now. And Jesus is talking as if they should have known by now more than they did. He said, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Charity suffers long. Jesus said, how long shall I suffer you? How long am I going to need to put up with you until you get over this? Until you come up to where I've taught you to be. Verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, it shall remove. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. However, this kind goes not out, but by prayer and fasting. I believe what Jesus is saying here, the root cause was their unbelief. He said so, because of your unbelief. He's saying, really, you didn't. The problem was you weren't in faith. He said, but this kind can't come out anyway without a life of prayer and a life of fasting. But even if you had a life of prayer and a life of fasting, your unbelief would have caused this not to work. Can you see that? He said, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. They had not begun to pray yet. You don't find the disciples praying. You find them falling asleep in a prayer meeting. They started praying when Jesus went back to heaven. Praise God. But anyway, for years they had been following him. And I can picture in my mind in verse 19, then came the disciples to Jesus apart. Maybe they were standing around a well talking. Or maybe Jesus was sitting down on the ground leaning up against a tree and they were around him. They said, why couldn't we do this? And Jesus, in character, in the love of God, in the Spirit of God, said to them, well, guys, it was because of your unbelief. Because really, if you have faith, you can say to any mountain, be removed, and it'll go. But this kind, it doesn't come out except by prayer and fasting. You see how kind he is, how patient he is. 3 years they've been watching him raise the dead. Glory to God. Miss Joyce, would you come back, please? Glory to God. You know, we cannot wear out the patience of the Lord. Amen? Let's stand together.
Love suffers long, and He's the most loving of all. Hallelujah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Praise God. When we run out of patience, like Brother Moore says, the Lord isn't even started good yet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Joyce, what you got for us?
Yeah, love never fails unless you want something
yeah,
else.
Sure. Let's sing that one. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the high, high standard that you set before us. Thank you for Jesus and his example. Father, it's our desire to walk in the love of God. We ask you to fill us afresh. Glory to God. Why don't you lift your hands to him and just ask him to fill you afresh with his love. Glory to God. Father, we know the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts at the new birth. We ask you, Father, to fill us again. Glory to God. Give us that tender, warm affection and fondness for people. Hallelujah. Father, we set ourselves to forgive anyone that does anything against us. Glory to God. We set ourselves, Father, in faith to love all men in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. And the church said amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for your attention. We love you. We are dismissed in Jesus' name.